through your faithful giving in these last 36 months and your dedication and your stick-to-itiveness, God has given us this beautiful facility that's used day after day, every day. I would say almost every hour of every day. And we want to thank you for your dedication and your giving. And we have some beautiful offices. If you haven't gone through the administrative wing, it's time you did. I have a gorgeous office. Don't deserve it, but I love it. Thank you very much. And we are here every day. And God's been good to do this for us and to allow us to have this. Also, 36 months ago, just over 36 months ago, we began to think about, is there a way that we can do missions where we are really on mission, that we can mix it up with people from other countries? And that's where we began to select different cities. So let's look at this screen here, please, just so that we might see some things that have happened in the last 36 months. We have chosen these five cities. One is Odessa, Ukraine. The other is Gangtok, India. We'll mention Jalpaiguri in a few moments. Guayaquil, Ecuador, Montreal, Canada, and Accra, Ghana. But we've chosen them. We're in Asia, we're in Africa, we're in South America, we're in North America. We are touching the world, at least a segment of the world, where we can partner with key leaders and pastors and churches in these cities. Next, please. One of them is the city of Odessa, Ukraine. I just received a letter, an email from the pastor of Second Parasit Baptist Church. It's a church that we're connected with there, and we communicate with the pastors. I call him Eugene. I don't know how to say that in Russian or Ukrainian. He speaks Russian and Ukrainian. He does not speak English, so his administrative assistant kind of translates everything and sends it back. I just received an email from him a few days ago. He said, I did not send you reports about our ministry for a while. Several weeks ago, and this is a prayer request, several weeks ago we had the Great Tribulation. He's working with English and Russian and Ukrainian. Here's the Great Tribulation. He said, my own brother Peter, whom I met, Peter died. Peter got cancer. He had four operations, and he died. And he worked closely with the pastor of that church. So it was a very significant loss to lose his brother like that. He said, but it was the will of God to take my brother to himself. He said, our ministry is healthy. Our ministry is growing. This is a city, and this is a people that we are connected with on a regular basis. In 2008, we had a team go to this city of Odessa, Ukraine. It's on the Black Sea, just north of the Black Sea. This is the Black Sea. Next screen, please. This is one of the theaters there, and I took this picture. I had this taken because Odessa is a port city. It's interesting to me that the four of the five cities that we're penetrating with the gospel of Christ are port cities. They are similar to Halifax. That was not planned, really, but it certainly is working well. Next slide, please. This is a team that went in 2008, and that was an awesome time. Our goal and our prayer and our desire is that we really get to know the people. We are there with them, and some of them come here to be with us. And that was an awesome team. We still have many good memories of that time together. I baptized one of you in the Black Sea. That was really an exciting time. Most of you acted up, you know, quite dramatically, too. At times I had to pray for you. The next screen, please. This is really an exciting endeavor, to be able to reach some of the areas of Northeast India. We've already sent two teams to Northeast India. The city we are targeting is Gangtok. It's up in the Himalayan mountains. And just at the foot of the mountains, there's another city called Jalpaiguri, India. And I believe these two cities together are going to be a great field for us to endeavor to share the gospel in. We have contacts in both. And the last mission team that went to India made tremendous contacts in this city just at the foot of the Himalayan mountains. It's kind of like the Rocky Mountains, and there's a town right, a city right at the foot, and then, except it's they're huge, the Himalayan mountains are huge, and then we go up into Gangtok. Next slide, please. This is Gangtok. It sits up in one of the mountain ridges in the Himalaya mountains. They put me in that. I'm terrified of heights. And so the team got me to go on that. I always get in the middle of those things. You know what I'm saying? I always get in the middle. If there's a pole in the middle, then you know I'm a real truster in God. You see? So I get in the middle there. And they got me. And those things sway, don't they? Don't you love that? They tell me that I didn't go on this other team that just went, but you all got on that too, apparently, and you went on this again. Lisa, did you go on that, this one? Okay, you're not nervous of heights, are you? Not like me. Okay. And then there's these beautiful children in Gangtok, Northeast India. Next slide, please. This is the team that went first. We went in 2009. I had been there in, not right in that city, but I'd been close to it before, but a team went in 2009. This is the most recent team that went on, that's us. That's Stone Ridge Fellowship connecting with the East Indian people. And what a beautiful time they had. They brought back great reports. I think better partnership connections were made. That the Lord seems to be sealing. These are the people that you are to partner with. And it's going to unfold in a great way. Next, please. Guayaquil, Ecuador has opened like a flower. It's really quite unbelievable how God is positioning us for increasing involvement in that city. Just in a period of less than 36 months in the city of Guayaquil. It's a huge city of over 4 million people spread out. It's on a major river called Guayas. That's why it's called Guayaquil. It's on the Guayas River. And it's in the southern part of Ecuador. Next slide, please. Guayaquil is also a port city. And when you go there, because we want all of you to take one of these mission endeavors, and when you go there, this is a very interesting part of the city. You walk up, I think it is 469 steps, away up high to where the old city of Guayaquil first was positioned. An amazing trip up there. I took a break every now and again, sat down and catch my breath. Okay, the next slide, please. This is the team, and many of you are here today. This is a team that went in 2009. This was our first team to go to Guayaquil. Something very unusual, as you know, happened at that team. My son here met my interpreter, my translator, and they're now married, and she lives here. And she's now organizing the trip that will be going this year, which is very exciting. I never dreamt that. So God is serious about us connecting with peoples of with these cities. My son and daughter-in-law, are they here today? Downstairs. Okay, great. So this is the team that went. Another team is going May 1 through 10 this coming year, 2000. May 1 through 10, I already have 13 applications. That team is coming together beautifully. We are going to build, we're there 8 days, we're going to build, God willing, six homes, six houses in 8 days. It's going to happen. They are prefabricated houses, and we're excited about it, that this team is going to be able to do some very hands-on ministry in that city, Guayaquil. Next, please. Montreal, Canada. Do you realize that there are more people who claim to know Jesus Christ in Accra, Ghana, than Montreal, Quebec? Very, very few. In the late 1960s, early 1970s, the church is emptied. Authority was all cast off. It was called the Silent Revolution. Church is empty. And as a result, very few claim to know Christ in a personal way. So right next door, we have a major mission field to reach for Christ. Next, please. This is the city of Montreal. Next, please. This is the team that went this past summer. Mostly young people went. To just make some connection. We made connection with one main church in the city of Montreal, and we have a connection with another one too. This is going to really blossom out in the next few years. So right next door, we have a great opportunity to partner with with this city. Next, please. Accra, Ghana. Next, please. Accra, Ghana is also a port-type city. It's right on the water, and it's a very busy, bustling city of millions of people. And you who are coming on this team that have not been there yet, it'll be very interesting when the plane drops down and touches the tarmac, and we're there. We'll never be the same. We're there. This is Accra, Ghana. Next, please. And this is the team that is going, so pray for us. March 9 through 21. We gave you the cards today. Please remember us. There's many opportunities, but there are also some dangers in those countries. Next, please. These are the five cities. I want you to continue to pray for these cities. Next, please. Now, this all happened in 36 months. You see, we sometimes underestimate what can we overestimate what can happen in 1 year, but underestimate what can happen in 5 years. What is God going to do in the next 2 or 3 years? Through our faithfulness, our commitment to Christ, His church, and getting involved in the world for Christ's sake. In the last 3 years, 2009, 28 people became members of this church. 23 were baptized. In 2010, 29 new members. In 18 baptisms this year, 2011, 36 were baptized and 36 joined the church and 27 were baptized. This is very interesting to me. In 36 months, we had 93 people join this church. The average church is 65 people. We grew a church and a half in 36 months. Thank God. Thank God. And everyone is special. Every one of these 93 individuals. You're here today. And you're special to God. You have these God-given abilities. And then I thank God that 68 people were baptized in the last 36 months. You know who this guy is. This is Matthew Johnson. He recently came to Christ. He attends every class that he can attend. He's just sucking it all up. And we wanted an attractive picture of Matthew coming out of the water, just gasping for breath. He was in the service last night, so he was sitting over here, so we commended him for his good looks. And I said, Matthew, I didn't know that was coming. He said, oh, go show it again. So, and isn't it a beautiful? I love baptisms, because baptisms are those who follow Christ saying, I'm not ashamed to follow him. I want a public commitment of baptism, and we can multiply that many times over of people who have come to know Christ. Next, please. Multi-site church. We gave it a good run for 3 years, although that specific site did not work out like we had hoped and dreamed. We've learned many things about that. And a couple of things that we learned is the families that are needed to begin a work that will sustain itself. And we learned another thing, I believe, that we need a campus pastor for every site, a campus pastor who can dedicate almost a week, if not the whole week, just to visiting the guests and connecting with the people there. This dream is not dead. We're trusting God that we will become a multi-site church, a church that is one church in several locations. So continue to pray about that. Next slide, please. This is something that moved me recently. Anyone still listening? Raise your right hand. This is a little different today, but that's all right. I've been, every Thursday night, I've been taking a course. Charlene Dill has, and Rebecca, you've been taking this course. I didn't know you two were going to be there when I showed up, but I've been taking a course on the world Christian movement, biblically speaking, historically speaking, strategically speaking. How can we be part of what God is doing? Now, what I didn't realize, this is 15 weeks, I didn't realize that there's a lot of homework and a lot of assignments. I got myself into more trouble than I realized I was going to get into. But it's been life transformative. And later I will tell you more about this. But recently, I read a quote, and the quote just gripped me. It was said, did you ever read a quote, a saying, and you wish you could have said it? You know, like, it's kind of like, oh, I wish I would have said that. Because it seemed to be pithy, but at the same time, oh, so true. And it seemed to put it in the right perspective. And this individual, David Bryant, I just recently read this. David Bryant, who started a somewhat of a world-impacting prayer movement. David Bryant said this. He said, watch this phrase. He said, God loves his son. Would you say that, please? God loves his son. Now, let's finish it. Just the first line. God loves his son and has a wonderful plan for him. Think that over. Think it over. God loves his son. Remember when Jesus was baptized? The Son of God was baptized? When he was baptized, God the Father spoke from heaven. audibly, out loud, people heard it. God spoke from heaven and said, "This is the Son that I love. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am what? Well pleased." Think it over. God spoke from heaven to affirm his love for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. "This is my Son. I love him." When Jesus was transfigured on the mountain, remember that? Jesus went up in the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and some of the glory of who Christ is came out, just a little. Some of the beauty and the wonder and the glory of Christ came out. And the glory of Christ was so intense that day that it says his garments became white, glistening white, whiter than any soap on earth could ever make them. Because some of that person of Christ was coming out. You see, he's man, but he's God. And while he lived here, he contained much of who he is. But he was just glowing with the presence of God. And then God spoke. God spoke again. "This is my Son. Listen to him. This is the one that I love." Many years ago, Bill Bright, a Christian leader who's helped to reach many people in the world for Christ. Bill Bright wrote a little booklet called The Four Spiritual Laws. How many are familiar with the Four Spiritual Laws? Many of you are. It's just a little booklet that helps people to know how they may come to Christ and be sure that they know him. And Bill Bright said a very good statement. He said, "God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life." God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That's absolutely true. However, it's kind of centers around us. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. I believe this puts it in the right perspective, because the reality is God loves his Son, Jesus Christ, and has a wonderful plan for him. Now watch this. And here's the plan that God Almighty has for his Son: to bring all the nations to his feet as Lord of what? Oh, God has a plan, and the plan is that one day people from every tongue, every tribe, and every nation will bow before who? The Lord Jesus Christ. God's on a mission. Whether it's in Ghana, Africa, whether it's in South America, Ecuador, whether it's in Montreal, Quebec, no matter where it is, God is bringing people to himself so that they might acknowledge Christ as Lord. You are here today, gathered in this auditorium, and practically all of you acknowledge Jesus as Lord, not only from your lips, but you believe he is Lord, and you trust him as Lord. You see, this is the plan of God unfolding, to bring all the nations to his feet as Lord of all. One day, every knee shall bow. Remember Philippians chapter 2. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The plan will be completed one day. And in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, it gives us a picture of heaven in which those from every tongue, every tribe, every nation are giving glory to the Lamb of God who shed his blood for the sins of humanity. God's on a plan. And the plan is he loves his Son, and he's going to bring the nations to his feet. And then I like this. He has not left us out because of this. And he, God, loves you and me enough to give us a place in this plan. That's where we come in. God first with his plan for his Son. And then we come in. He loves us enough so that we might be part of his plan. My dear friends here today, let our hearts soar. Let our faith grow. Let us envision what God's able to do in and through you and I as we serve Christ faithfully in our city, in our home, in our community, but around the world, so that we might be able to one day see, God, you have used this congregation. You've used you and I as individuals to further the plan that one day every knee will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. That will not happen without us acknowledging something. Anyone still listening? Raise your right hand. That will not happen without something very, very important. I call it the gift that keeps on giving. There's a gift that keeps on giving. And without this gift, we will never accomplish what God would have us to accomplish. And here's the gift that keeps on giving. You know, at Christmas time, some gifts you get, a week later they're broken. You know, and then you kind of feel a little bad, but it goes into the garbage because you got it, you liked it, and it broke, and it's gone. Well, it's a gift, and we appreciate it, but it's not going to keep on giving. Then there's other gifts that are very special gifts. It may be a piece of jewelry or something like that. It just reminds you year after year of something special. That's a gift that keeps on giving. Sometimes just your family together, right? Just the family gathered together. Just to be able to talk some old times and dream for the future and laugh and, you know, great times together. That's a gift that keeps on giving. That does something special in our lives. There is a gift that keeps on giving in the mind of God that we as followers of Christ must acknowledge. And it's recorded in the New Testament. Peter, remember Peter? There were how many apostles of the Lord, those early ones? How many early disciples, followers of Christ? There were 12 of them. And one of them committed suicide, Judas Iscariot. He hung himself. And they replaced him with Matthias, another one. So there were 12 of them. And on this particular day, Peter stood up. Can you see Peter? He was the fisherman. I kind of think he was kind of a burly guy, but I don't know. I might be shocked when I get to see him one day. He might be kind of a petite little man. And, I might be shocked on that. But I kind of picture him, you know, he's a fisherman, right? Woo! And so Peter stands up. And the 11 other disciples stand with him. You know, James, John, Bartholomew, Nathaniel, another James. You know, can you picture them? They literally stand up. Peter stands, and then the other 11 boys stand. So you have these 12 men standing there, looking at the crowd. See them? And Peter steps up and says something. Something just happened that day. A gift was given that keeps on giving. And Peter stood up and said, I want to explain to you something. I hold the Bible in case somebody goes home and said, never use the Bible today. Hold your email. Here it is. Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice. And he addressed the crowd. And he said, I think he has a sense of humor. Something happened that was so unusual and so powerful that it just captured these men and captured many others to where some said, these men are drunk. Isn't that something? Some of them said, they've got to be drunk. I mean, intoxicated. You see, they are under the influence of alcohol, or the influence of alcohol, depending how many you had. Right? And some are saying, these people are acting so unusual. It must be alcohol that's controlling them. And Peter stands up and says this. He says, these men are not drunk. He says, no, we're not drunk. There's your word drunk, okay? These men, he said, I think he was kind of laughing inside a little bit. He said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. He said, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, it's only 9 in the morning. If we're going to be drunk, it would be later on in the day. So he said, amazing. So he stood up and he said, no, we are not drunk. And we wouldn't be drinking this early anyway, you see. Then he said, however, we are under the control of a mighty power. We are under the influence of a mighty authority. We are now gripped by a gift that is going to keep on giving. And he says this, and I love it. He says, he said, this is what was spoken in the prophet Joel. Joel's one of the Old Testament prophets. He said, this is what Joel said is going to happen. And this is Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. And the gift is the Holy Spirit. The gift is, remember, Father, Son, and who? Holy Spirit. And he said the gift, he'll say it later on, the gift is the Holy Spirit. You know what turns a church into a mighty force for God? The one whom we do not see. The one called the Holy Spirit of God. And you know who we ought to be concerned about when we gather together? The unseen person that's among us. The Holy Spirit. You know something? The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine. That's excessive. Don't be drunk with wine. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. The word filled means be controlled with God's Spirit. You know, practically every day, I say, Lord, am I controlled today with your Holy Spirit? You see, if you're drinking, that is controlling your thoughts. If you're drunk, it's controlling your movements. It's controlling, you know, it just grabs you. And when you are filled with God's Spirit and controlled by God's Spirit, it's amazing how God can use your life for his honor, for his purpose of exalting his Son. And you get a congregation of people, of hundreds of people, whose primary concern is that they are filled and controlled with God's Spirit. We cannot even imagine what the Lord will do. And he gives us this beautiful promise. He said, this is what Joel was talking about, the coming of the Holy Spirit in the last days, and we are in them, and it began on that day of Pentecost. In the last days, God says, and I love this, I will pour out my Spirit. Did you hear what he said? He said, in these days, I will pour out my what? Spirit. It's not like a little sprinkle here and a little sprinkle there. He said, I'm going to what? It's just like turn the tap on full. I'm going to pour out my Spirit. You see, in the older days, the Spirit would come on Samson. He'd do some mighty feat. He would come on the prophet. They'd say something. He'd come, you know, just a few people would come and he would leave. And he'd come and he'd leave. But Peter stands up and says, no, it's different now. The Holy Spirit has arrived in force and in power. And watch this. He says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Not just a few here or there, or not just Jewish people. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. That is different, you see. And then I love this. Oh, and I'm humbled by this. He said, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your sons and daughters will give out the message of, let me make it simple. Your sons and daughters will give out the message of God. My dear friends, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Are your sons, are your daughters giving out the message of Christ? Are they a witness for Christ? You see, I want to remind us here that when the Holy Spirit is poured out, something changes in the whole family dynamic. Sons and daughters give out the message of Christ. I thank God for a son who gives out the message of Christ. I thank God for a daughter who gives out the message of Christ. I thank God for a daughter-in-law who gives out the message of Christ. I thank God for a son-in-law who gives out the message of Christ. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? And you see what happens when the Spirit of God is properly received and understood. He begins to transform the whole relationships that we have. It says sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Young men, young women will see visions. Let me say this. It is my goal in the next 6 months, if I can do it sooner, I will, to meet with every 19 to 35-year-old in the church. You who are 19 to 35-year-olds, the church is yours, and the quicker that you own it and get a hold of it and be part of it, the more we will be assured of a future. A church is just always one generation away from death. And if we as the older generation cling too hard and want it all our way with our nuances, I'm wondering if we're doing justice to this great Holy Spirit of God who says the young men will dream dreams. Young people here today, in your teens and 20s and 30s, I just pray that the Spirit of God will so fill you and capture you with this great thing that God is doing, that you'll be bold enough to say, I want to be part of this. I want to be part of this. And then he says this. He said, young men will see visions. I'm thankful. And he said the next thing, old men will dream dreams. Oh, we're not left out, you see. The older ones will be able to dream, to say, oh, God is able. This could happen. I want to be part of that. What a beautiful thing for grandparents now to exercise our godly influence for not only one generation, but two generations. Then it says this, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit. You see, it's multi-generational, this moving of the Spirit. And it's without rank. It's for the rich and the poor. It's for the servants and it's for the masters. That's one thing I love about the Church of Christ. And I see you here today. And in the basement today, there's hundreds of children in the first level. It's a beautiful thing. And I love it when it says that the Spirit is able to control and motivate even children. When we go downstairs today, and I think this regularly, and you see this little boy running, you see, and he's just shooting, and I think, there goes one. That little fellow's filled with the Spirit. You might say, what kind of Spirit? But let's never underestimate what God is able to do in the life of a child that's running from here and there. Then you see this little girl go, away she goes. The other day, one came and leaped up and gave me a hug. I think they got mistaken. I don't know who they thought I was, but there's another little one filled with the Spirit, you see. Because every time someone comes to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in them. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, let me tell you this. This gift of the Spirit of God is for you. And when you say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead on the third day. And Jesus Christ, come into my life and forgive me of all of my sins. Ask him to do that today. Ask Jesus Christ, the living Lord, to come into your life and forgive you. And you know what? When he comes in, the Spirit of God comes in. You don't get a third of God. You get all of God when Christ comes into your life. And you can begin to know that gift of the Holy Spirit that keeps on giving year after year, month after month, being led and motivated and guided by God. And then he says this, he says, the Spirit is poured out and the Spirit is given to everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. And then I will conclude. Do you hear that word, conclude? I will conclude with this. So the people begin to say, well, the people, oh, I got to say, I'm a little ticked off right now. I got to say it in case I forget it. Our children are not ours first. They're God's. Do you get that? They're not ours first. They are God's. And let me say it bluntly. Be very careful that your plans for your children fit with that plan of God. And do not interrupt the moving of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Because I think there's times they begin to get a hold of it. The children rise up, they get it. And then a parent steps in with their plan. And be very sure this plan is your plan for your sons and daughters and grandchildren. So the people, after they said, this, we're not drunk. This is the Spirit of God has come. It's a new day. God's got a big plan. He's executing the plan. People are coming to Christ. The people people say, well, what do we do then? You know, they say, oh, my land, what will we do? And here's what Peter says. Peter said, repent and be baptized. He said, it's time to turn around to where it's not my way, it's his way. Repent as Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I want that to be put in the past. I want to be a follower of Christ. And they were baptized. And then it says, if you repent and are baptized, it says, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, your children, and all who are afar off, all whom the Lord God will call. What's the message today? The message is this. It's amazing, really, what God has done among us and through you in the last 36 months to his honor and to his glory. As we look to the future, let us believe God. Let us engage in what God wants. Let us become part of this wonderful plan of God that he's executing on a regular basis. It's going to happen, and it is happening. Maybe there's somebody here you need to come to Christ today. Maybe there's someone here, you've seen other baptisms, and you need to get baptized. You already know the Lord. You need to take this step of obedience in baptism. I want to remind us of this. This is the last time I'm going to share this for a long time. I have been asking many of you in the last maybe a month and a half or so, I've been saying, Lord, give us 100 evangelists. Lord, give us 100 people who will share the Lord with other people, who will go and bring. And so I said, Lord, give us 100 evangelists who will sign on the dotted line and say, Pastor, count me in. I'm going to. And many of you, this past month, you brought hundreds of people to church. Literally hundreds of people to church. We had over 3,000. And the stories you told me are fantastic. We now have a Facebook set up for the evangelists and prayer warriors. And the stories are fantastic. Somebody told me a couple of stories this morning. It was wonderful. Because you were bold enough to be friends with those who yet do not know Christ. And they care for you, and you care for them. And you invited them, and they came. And then I said, Lord, give us 100 prayer warriors. These prayer warriors that will meet before church and after church, half an hour, either Saturday or Sunday. And we have 120 prayer warriors. We have 111 evangelists. This is the last opportunity. You might not like me for this, but that's all right. That's all right. I call this the A-team. This is what you might not like. Somebody said, well, if you have an A-team, does that mean we're B? Yes, but... the A-team that will pray, you see, much prayer, much power, and the evangelists that will be going back by prayer. So I'm asking God, this is the last opportunity. There might be somebody here saying, Pastor, I've been thinking about it. I want to be an evangelist. I want to be a prayer warrior. Count me in. And you've been thinking about it. Some of you, this is your first thought. I'm going to ask that you just get up right now. Just stand up right now. If there's one, I don't want to miss this, Pastor. I'll be a prayer warrior. I'll sign up. Is there one like that? Just get up. This is family. This is family. Is there an evangelist? This is our last time to do this. Thank God. Is there anyone else that you'll be like a prayer warrior? The room, I just was down in the prayer room before this gathering here. And it's great to see people in the circle and praying the blessing of God. You're going to be an evangelist. You're going to be a prayer warrior. Something specific, right? To get a hold of it. And I think it's powerful that we can go into the new year with scores and scores of people that are saying, count me in. Is there another evangelist saying, count me in as an evangelist? Is there another prayer warrior? Just stand right up. They'll let you by and come down front. You might say, Pastor, it's pretty tough to stand up in the crowd like this. Well, it was difficult for the Lord to take that place on the cross, wasn't it? And that's what a disciple is. A disciple is a follower even in some difficulties, times of difficulties. What is the message today? God is on a mission. He loves his son. And we as Stone Ridge Fellowship and you who are our guests today, thank you for coming. We want you to come back again. But I wanted to just commend the church today of the great things that God used you to accomplish in 36 months. And let's dream for the future. Let's pray about the future. If you don't know Christ, I'll be here after the service. You can trust him in a personal way and leave with him. Shall we stand, please? Father in heaven, thank you again, dear God, for this time that we've had to come here today to sing the Christmas carols about Jesus Christ. We thank you that we've gotten a little taste again of this world that so desperately needs you. And thank you, Lord, that God Almighty, you're doing a great work all over this globe. And we thank you that you're using people just like us to honor Jesus Christ. And Father, we commend this year to you. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for your mercy and thank you for your grace and your patience with us. And Lord, we look to this new year that is coming. And God, I pray that this new year would be one in which Christ would be greatly honored. In his name I pray. Amen. Next week, it's going to be Sunday at 10:30. And it's going to be called Ignite. You see this right here? We're going to give every one of you one of these on the way out. January 1st. We're going to give you all one of these on the way out. You see what that is? That's a sparkler. Bring this on January the 1st at 10:30. Bring it back. January 1st, 10:30. We're going to set a fire here somewhere that won't be going out for about 100 years. Thank you. You are dismissed. Let your name come.